Let us pray. Father in heaven, once again, we invite your presence in our midst. I know that I am not worthy to stand before your people, for I also am the chief of sinners. But Father, I still believe you have a word for your children and for me. If there's anything in our hearts, Lord, that separates us from you, if there's anything this morning that can keep your word from entering in, now is the time we plead that you may take it away, Lord. Won't you wash us, Lord? Won't you cleanse us? Won't you give us a new heart that we may fully experience the blessing you have for us today? Please, Lord, grant us your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for doing it, for we ask and plead these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to go a little bit quickly this morning because I have just a few points to cover. And so if I move a little fast, I encourage you to jot down the few points, and that will help you to go back home and maybe study it a little bit further. The title of the talk this morning is Because of My Need. If you have a Bible, if you can turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And he goes on to re-emphasize the message that he's just given there. And looking at verse 13, he says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And so Jesus is saying, ask, knock, and seek. But contextually speaking, what is he telling us to ask, knock, and seek for? For the Holy Spirit. Very good. Why would Jesus tell us to pray for the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you can turn there, but most of you know, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be my" what? "Witnesses." So the Holy Spirit gives you power to be what? To be a witness. How are we to be a witness? I believe there are many ways, but I want to focus on two ways this morning. The first one is the Holy Spirit allows us to be a witness by giving us power to live a godly life. In Galatians chapter 5, if you can turn there also with me, Galatians chapter 5, a very familiar text, looking at verse 22. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, the Holy Spirit starts producing something. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And so the Holy Spirit gives us power to live a godly life. In Review and Herald, 1888, March 20th, says, "It is not enough to argue in defense of the truth. The most telling evidence of its worth is seen in a godly life. Our strength lies in being connected with God by His Holy Spirit." And so what happens is, Jesus says, pray. I want you to pray, but specifically, I'm asking you to pray for the what? The Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, it will give you what? It will give you power. And that power, the first aspect is the power to be able to live a godly life. Power to live a godly life. How is your walk with God this morning? Have you grown daily in grace? Since the time you've first heard, I mean really heard, Jesus' voice? Or are you no better off than when the first time you heard the truth? Or maybe are you worse off this morning? Because you know so much more now, but you still commit the same sins over and over again. How is your life? Is it godly? You know, when we first experience conversion, there's this joy, there's this love to be able to spend time with God and His Word. Do you still have that experience? Do you love to be able to open His Word and to spend an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, and time just flies by and you don't have time for television? Or is your life, spiritual life, stagnant? You know, for some of us, there used to be a time when we used to hear about a message about the love of Jesus, and it used to touch our hearts like never before. But now we can hear a message upon the love of Jesus, and I've heard that before, praise God. For some of us, there used to be a time when we used to commit sin, and it used to cause us to weep. And these same sins that we commit, whether it's anger, whatever it is, pride, lust, we don't weep anymore. Our hearts have become hard. And we're still present truth believers. But there is no true sorrow for sin. And you know, sometimes we have to do what I sometimes do. To get down on my knees and say, God, honestly, I am lost and I'm too busy to care. Because if I really cared, I would fast, I would pray, I would do whatever, I would wrestle with God all night until I would get that peace, until I would be able to get that victory over this one struggle, over this one problem in my life. But I'm just too busy, I have bills to pay, I have to go to school, and so I pray and I ask forgiveness, Lord, please help me not to do this again, and I go on and move on. And I don't weep, there is no true sorrow for sin, there is no true repentance. But friends, there is hope. There is hope. In Signs of the Time, 1899, September 27, says, we need to pray for the impartation of the divine spirit as the remedy for the sin-sick soul. The Holy Spirit working upon the mind, the Holy Spirit will awaken an earnest desire for truth. It is the Holy Spirit that not only gives us power to live a godly life, but the Holy Spirit can actually give you the desire to have that power. Isn't that wonderful? And so if you are in a Laodicean condition, if you are lost, and if you are truly honest with yourself, you are lost, but you don't really care. Yes, I'm a present truth believer, but when it comes down to you literally looking down into yourself and analyzing who you really are, analyzing the sins that so easily beset you, you can say, Lord, I don't really love you as much as I should. Lord, it seems I keep committing the same sins over and over. That, Lord, it seems that I'm lost and I'm too busy to care. But Father, I pray that you may grant me your spirit and awaken with me a desire to care. Awaken within me an earnest hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And when you hunger and thirst, the promise is you shall be filled. And I know if I can just start hungering and start thirsting for that righteousness, I know that you will fill me. And so pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit not only so that you can have a godly life, but so that you can even have the desire to live a godly life. Jesus says, pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for this Holy Spirit because it will give you power. The first power that we emphasize this morning is it gives you power to live a godly life. The second one is found in Acts chapter 2, if you can turn with me quickly. Acts chapter 2. This is Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Speaking of the disciples, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 37. Now when they, the people, heard this, these folks speaking in tongues, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this is the picture. The Holy Ghost falls upon them. The Holy Ghost falls upon them and they speak. When they speak, the people's hearts are pricked and they ask, what should we do? And that same day, 3,000 come into God's church. The Holy Spirit gives us power to live a godly life. And number two is the Holy Spirit gives us power to do God's work. Gives us power to do God's work. Review and Herald 1890, it says, what we need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Without this, we are no more fitted to go forth to the world than were the disciples after the crucifixion of their Lord. 5T158, it says, without the Spirit and power of God, it will be in vain that we labor to present the truth. In Acts of the Apostle 51, it says, the presence of the Spirit with God's worker will give the proclamation of truth a power that not all the honor or glory of the world could give. Do you feel weak or lack courage to be able to share your faith? How is your spiritual influence in your community, in your workplace, your family? Did anybody come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ because of you? Did everyone ever come to be able to surrender their lives to Christ because of you in the last month? In the last year? In the last decade? If not, we need not despair. What we need to do is pray more for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit will give you power. And so, the Holy Spirit gives us power to be able to live godly lives. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to be able to work for God. And if you are working for God, to be able to do a greater work for God. And so our Christian experience is empty without the Holy Spirit. And that is why Jesus says you need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what or who will give you power. Now that we understand the importance of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how within the same chapter that we started in, Luke 11, Jesus, through a parable, explains to us how we are to ask for that same Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11. How we are to ask for the person of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. The parable begins like this. And he, Jesus, said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The first point this morning I have of praying for the Holy Spirit is that you must persist. You must persist. As the story goes, there was a young man that came to one of the great philosophers, I think it was Socrates, and says, you know, I want to be wise like you. You know, how You are so wise and you have so much knowledge, and I want to understand, I want to be able to be like that. Teach me, how am I to have that kind of wisdom and knowledge? And Socrates says, come with me. And so he followed the old man to a pool. And he says, kneel down. And the young man knelt down and he took the young man's head and he plunged it underneath the water. And the young man was bewildered, like, what is happening? And so he's under the water, and so he thinks, I guess it's a game, so he waits 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds, And so it gets to the point where you want a little bit of air. So he gently taps the old man and to let him know that the game is over. I need some air. But the old man doesn't respond. And so he taps him harder. And Socrates just keeps him there. And he says, I don't know what's wrong. This man's trying to kill me. So he starts hitting the man. But Socrates, I guess, was pretty strong and kept holding him underneath the water. And now he starts kicking and screaming and bubbles go and splashing all over the place, trying to get out. This man is crazy. He's going to kill me. And Socrates just keeps holding him. And a minute goes by, and 2 minutes goes by. He says, I should never have asked that question. And finally he says, I'm going to die. And just when he starts losing it, Socrates pulls him out of the water. And he's splashing and sputtering and angry and confused. And he starts cussing at him and says, what do? You try to kill me? And Socrates calmly looks at him and says, young man, when you shall search for wisdom, as earnestly as you sought for that breath of air, then you will find it. And he walked away. And I say, if we seek the Holy Spirit as if our lives depended on it, because guess what? It does. I believe we shall find it. And so this man, he gets up from his house, and number one, he seeks. He goes out into the streets at midnight, and he seeks for his other friend to get bread. He goes to the door, and he knocks, and he asks, and he knocks, and he asks, and he knocks, and he asks, and he keeps knocking and asking until he gets the bread. It is not enough to seek and to knock. We must persist. In Christ Object Lessons, page 145, it says, God does not say, ask once and you shall receive. He bids us ask. Unwearyingly persist in prayer. The persistent asking brings the petitioner into a more earnest attitude and gives him an increased desire to receive the things for which he asks. And so the persistence in prayer is not so much for God to give us the Holy Spirit, but it is for us to actually desire and appreciate the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? In 5T158, it says, we should pray as earnestly for the descent of the Holy Spirit as the disciples prayed on the day of Pentecost. And so, reviewing, number one, Jesus says, I want you to ask. I want you to ask, I want you to knock, I want you to pray. But specifically, what I want you to ask for, I want you to ask for what? The Holy Spirit. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it will give you what? Power. The first kind of power will give you is power to do what? To live a godly life. It will give you power to live a godly life. And if you don't even want to live a godly life, you should still pray for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will not only give you power, the Holy Spirit will give you a desire to have that power. Number two, I want you to pray for the Holy Spirit because it will give you power to live a godly life and power to do what? To do God's work. Very good. It will give you power to do God's work. And so if you go out there to try to be able to give a Bible study, to be able to share with a family member or co-worker about Jesus, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, according to the Spirit prophecy, it is worthless. You're wasting your time. You need to have the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to be a witness, to be able to share Christ, to be able to do God's work. And so number two, you need the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you power to do God's work. How are we to ask for the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, the first lesson you must remember, you must persist. Just a few. By the way, I work with literature evangelists, a lot of young people. And just a few weeks ago, I was dealing with one of my young literature evangelists. He says, you know, I don't need to pray. I prayed once, and I told God what I wanted, and that was it. I mean, it's a waste of time for me to keep praying and praying. And I understand the logic, but when we truly understand the spirit of the petitioning, the idea of persistence is not for God. The idea of persistence is for us. It's so that, number one, I actually want the Holy Spirit. And number two, I am actually start becoming ready to receive the Holy Ghost. And so persist. God says, don't just ask once, ask more than once. Number two, when you pray for the Holy Spirit, emphasize your need. Emphasize your need. Not your relationship, not your works. In verse 6 is the message that this man had. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And the end of verse 8 says, he will rise and give him as many as he what? Needeth. And so what this man does, go back to 8. He says, I say unto you at the beginning, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will give it. You know, sometimes when we pray to God, sometimes we pray like Hezekiah. And we plead with God and says, God, I have been faithful to you. Or Lord, I have given up this, I have given up this, I have given up this for you, Lord. And so you start talking about your works or your relationship. God, you are my father. I am your son. You need to provide for me. Please, you cannot let me go. And so we start arguing our relationship, or we start arguing what we have done or what we have left for Jesus Christ. But Christ here says what the man was arguing about, what was his emphasis, was not because he was his friend. He didn't say, man, I lend you my lawnmower. You got to get out and give me some bread. Or we've been friends for 20 years. Come on, please, give me at least 2 loaves. But he emphasizes not his relationship, not his works. He emphasized his need. And the Spirit of Prophecy tells us that what pleads most eloquently in our behalf is our need. And so when you plead with God, you plead, Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, any good thing, it is just you that has done it through me. Lord, you don't have to answer. But Father, I am weak and I need you. Please have mercy on me. I remember I was visiting a church member, and I'm always encouraging church members to do something more in the lines of ministry. And this was an elderly gentleman, and I told him, brother, you know, you need to do something for Jesus. So I gave him a whole stack of magazines. And I said, the next time I see, I want all these magazines to be gone. Just go out. I mean, you go to the mall, you go to the doctor. Just, if you don't want to talk to somebody, leave it in the toilet or leave it at Walmart, anything. Just spread the word. And he says, no, I'm gonna talk with people. I'm gonna do this. I need to do something more for Jesus. So I'm gonna take these magazines, I'm gonna give it to people. I said, good on you, I'm gonna pray for you. A couple months later, I saw him again. He says, hey Jonathan, I need to tell you what happened. I said, sure, tell me what happened. He says, you know, every day I would grab my stack of magazines and I would go out there in the mall to hand them out. He says, this happened for like a week. And I would see somebody there, and I would start walking towards that person. I said, I'm going to give that one. And then she would cough, and I would be scared, and I would go to the other place. And then I'd say, no, I need to do this thing. So I would see somebody sitting there. And as I said, no, I'm going to do this, I start walking. And then they look at me, oh, man, and then I start walking something else. He says, Jonathan, for the like of me, I could not hand out one magazine. And some of you are laughing, but you're maybe in the same situation. And he says, you know, a Seventh-day Adventist for 20 years, and I can't even give a magazine, a free magazine. He said, one morning I got on my knees, I said, God, I said, I didn't argue my relationship because I had nothing to boast. He said, I say, God, I haven't been faithful. I'm an Adventist for 20 years and I can't even give a magazine out. And I don't have strength, Lord. And I'm not worthy. But Lord, I need you. And all I'm pleading is, help me because I need you. And he says that day he had to go to a funeral. Some lady in a Catholic church, some lady had passed away. And he took his magazines. And he said, I walked into that church. And the first person I saw, which was the daughter of the lady who passed away, I walked up straight to her and I said, here! And the magazine was called We Have This Hope. And she looked at the magazine. She says, oh my goodness! And he says, what? What did I do? She says, these were the exact last four words of my mother. She says, I'm going to read this. He said, after that, I had no problem getting rid of the rest of them. Jesus says, pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit because when the Holy Spirit comes, it will give you power. It will give you power to live a godly life. And if you don't even desire the godly life, it will actually give you a desire for the godly life. Pray for the Holy Spirit because it will give you power to do a work for God. And if you're doing a work for God, it will give you power to do a greater work for God. How are we to ask for the Holy Spirit? Jesus says the first thing, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, you must persist. You must persist. Don't ask once. Don't ask twice. Don't ask three times. Just keep pleading and pleading for the Holy Spirit because pleading prepares you to receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, when you plead for the Holy Spirit, don't talk about your relationship, how God is your Father, you are the Son. Don't emphasize the works and what you have done. We are dust. We are nothing. We have done nothing good. If there's any good thing that we have done, it is Christ and Christ alone. When you plead for the Holy Spirit, the only thing I want you to emphasize is emphasize your need. And if you have to repeat it, repeat your need. And repeat your need. And repeat your need until you get the loaves of bread. And the last step, when you ask for the Holy Spirit, ask that you may give. This man sought his friend, knocked and persisted, not because he was hungry. And he could have said, sir, look, buddy, if it was just about me and my family, I would have waited till tomorrow morning. We can handle, but it's not for me. I'm asking bread for somebody else. Ask that you may live, give. Christ Object Lessons 142. Our prayers are not to be a selfish asking, merely for our own benefit. We are to ask that we may give. And I like to think that God loves those kinds of prayer. I remember one day I was knocking on doors and I met a man called Stefan. And Stefan was a very sorry sight. He couldn't stand very long because something with his legs, like the liquids would keep. Some of you are doctors, so let me stop where I am. Anyways, something about his legs. He couldn't stand very long. But a short time we were talking there, I'd be able to find out a little bit about him. He had a fatal disease. And some of the medication he was taking was so strong that his teeth start falling out. So he only had a few teeth. And he's a wreck. He's going to die in a few months, I guess, what he's saying. And I find out that his wife left him because of that disease and took the little boy also. And in spite of all of that, with the little two teeth he had, he could still smile. And that was inspiring for me because Stefan knew Jesus. And he says, John, you know, in spite of this illness, I praise God for the illness. I praise God that yes, maybe I'm going to die, but if it wasn't for this, I would never have known Jesus Christ. And so I'm still thankful for this. And so we talked with him, and he took a book called The Great Controversy. Amen. And after I said, you know, is it okay if I pray with you? He said, sure. So I prayed with him. And after I finished praying with him, he started to pray for me. And that's always shocks me when people do that. And I don't really remember his prayer. But I will never forget how he ended that prayer. He says, God, I want you to heal me so I can serve you like this young man. And he says, God, even if you don't heal me, won't you use me? He says, God, you've taken away my wife. You've taken away my kid. You've taken away my health. You've taken away my future. But God, I still got my hands left. Won't you use my hands? That's all I got. But if you're not going to heal me, use my hands to serve you. When I was driving home that night, it bothered me. It bothered me that there's thousands of young people in the Adventist church that have their hands, that have their feet, that have their health, that have their future, but they're just living for themselves. Their focus is their career. Their focus is to be able to go after this girl or guy. Their focus is to just to have a good family, to be a good Christian. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're not asking to give. I said, Lord, this man is about to die, and he's asking to give. What about me? In 60, page 90, it says, the Holy Spirit will come to all who are begging for the bread of life to give to their neighbors. Jesus says, I want you to pray, but I want you to pray specifically for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will give you power. It will give you power to be able to live a godly life. And if you don't desire it, it will give you power to even desire that godly life. I want you to pray for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will give you power to do my work. And when you pray for the Holy Spirit, I want you to remember a few things. Number one, when you pray, don't ask just once. You must persist. Keep praying until you receive the power. And number two, when you plead for the Holy Spirit, don't talk about your relationship. Don't talk about your works. When you plead for the Holy Spirit, emphasize your need and your need alone. And when you plead for the Holy Spirit, don't ask so that you may be more spiritual, that you may preach more powerfully, that you may have a greater influence. Don't ask so that you can be more happy with your family. These are nice desires. But I want you to ask. I want you to plead. I want you to cry. I want you to fast. Do whatever you need to do to be able to have the Holy Spirit that you may give. Friends, we are told that in the last days, unless we've been earnestly pleading for the impartation of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will fall in latter rain power all around us. And we won't even know what's happening. On our left and our right, and here we are studying our Bible, but not pleading, having that earnest desire for that power. My appeal this morning is very simple. It's a commitment that I hope that you'll join me in to pray for the Holy Spirit. I mean, seriously pray for the Holy Spirit. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evenings, make it a priority. Weekends, times when you have quiet time with God, make it a priority to kneel and to plead the Father for the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, guarantee you shall receive power. You will start noticing that the reading of the Word of God will start having meaning and desire, and you will actually be able to be nice and kind to other people, and also you'll be able to have power to be able to share with people, power that you know that is not within yourself, all because of the Holy Spirit. That is your desire. Won't you join me in prayer as we commit by standing and praying to God? Father in heaven, most of us here have our hands, have our feet, have our health, have our future. And we have to admit that many times we have used it for our own glory, for our own desires, so that we can be more spiritual, so that we can have greater influence, so that maybe people can look at us and say, what a spiritual woman or man that is, so that we can have peace. Maybe those are desires that you have put in our hearts. But today, we plead for the Holy Spirit that we may give, Lord. You see those that are standing. We are making a commitment to pray for the Holy Spirit. And Father, once again, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, Father, we can leave these doors and completely forget about this commitment the moment we walk out. Yet we pray that as you write it in your book, that you would write it in our hearts. We pray that as we open our Bibles tonight or tomorrow morning, as we have special time with you, that you may remind us to plead for the impartation of the Holy Spirit. For without your Spirit, we can do nothing. Please, Father, you see our earnest desire, our commitment to pray for the Holy Spirit. Won't you assist us? Won't you help us to fulfill the commitment we are standing for? And for those that are standing, because everyone is standing, Father, I pray that you may work in their hearts, that you may grant them the Holy Spirit also to change their desires to actually want spiritual things. Father, thank you for hearing, for answering our prayer. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.